Once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you today. Great to have you in that listening audience. We come to you each and every Sunday at this time by the grace of God. We're in our 21st year now bringing these messages to you. And we thank the Lord for this radio station and for all the prayers and provision. And most of all, for you, the listener, we appreciate you. If you've been with us for many years, we say thank you. We appreciate you. And if this is your first time listening today, we say welcome to you. We hope you come back each and every Sunday and make this a regular stop on your Sunday worship schedule. Today, we're going to be talking about the spiritual warfare of temptation. And this will be part three in the series we're talking about, dealing with temptation. And this is a big, big subject for many people, not just for believers and born-again believers, but also for people who are struggling and don't know what to do to get out of the temptations that have been dealt to them. And so we look to the Bible, we look to God's Word to give us instruction on how to deal with temptation in our life. So if you have your Bible there today, turn it to Romans chapter 12, and we're going to start in verse 2. Well, once again, this is Jim Rau, your host, Gather the Outcast Radio Ministry. Great to be with you. Before we get into the message, just want to give you a brief update what's going on over in the mission in Africa. We're getting ready to put the roof on building number one on our school project, so this is exciting. We've got all the walls up, the bond beam all the way around, and we've got a couple more courses of brick to go on top of the bond beam, and then we'll be ready to put the roof on. And so we need about $15,000 to $20,000 for steel trusses and for sheet iron, the whole project, three buildings, grades 1 through 8, 200 to 300 students. Is going to be about $200,000 to $300,000. So it's a big project, but God is able. God is able to provide. And so if you think you would help us with this project, you'd be interested, contact me, pureprairie@hotmail.com. That's pureprairie@hotmail.com. We can get you more details, blueprints, if you want to see them, and help us get this school built. It's going to be an evangelism project as well as teaching the children good basic education. There'll be an opportunity for evangelism with the children there in Makunda Village. Well, today we're going to be talking about spiritual warfare in temptation, that the temptation that the devil comes and tries to bring into your life and tempt you and get you off of your destiny, get you off of your path with God, that involves spiritual warfare. And so we're going to start with just some passages of scripture talking about temptation, and then we're going to go into the gospel armor, the spiritual warfare passage in Ephesians chapter 6. So today, let's look first at Romans chapter 12. And we talked about this some last week about temptation. The battlefield is in your mind. When the devil comes to you, he tries to put thoughts into your mind that challenges the Word of God, that challenges the wisdom of God in your life and your purpose and your calling, your destiny, all of that. If the devil can get you to start to question God, and this is his tactic in just about every situation, maybe in every situation, the devil comes and he tries to get you to challenge the Word of God, to question the Word of God. And this is the same tactic the devil used when he approached Eve in the Garden of Eden. God had given them instruction, don't touch that tree, don't touch that fruit that is in the center of the Garden of Eden, the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And the devil came and he started to get Eve to question the instructions that came from God. And so he was basically calling God a liar. And in Eve's situation, Eve agreed with him, and Eve then took the fruit of that tree, and then she handed that fruit to Adam. Adam wasn't there when the devil first started to talk to Eve. He wasn't there to protect her. And so the inclination of the devil is always tried to weaken you, to get you to question God's word, question God's instruction. And so that is the way he works, and it comes to you in your mind. Well, Romans chapter 12, verse 2, Apostle Paul talks about this. He says, "Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And so the will of God for your life can be determined in several different ways. One, first of all, is by reading God's word. You can understand the will of God for your life. By reading God's word, you'll eventually, when you read God's word, the whole counsel from beginning to end, you'll eventually see the plans that God has for your life. You'll eventually understand the plan that God has and how he wants to take you out of the world. He wants to separate you from the world. Be not conformed to this world. He wants to separate you from this world. And Jesus said that the devil is the ruler of this world. And so if you love the things of the world and you idolize the things of the world, then you're going to be separated from God. That doesn't mean you can't have a job. That doesn't mean you can't go work for the construction company because the rest of the guys are using filthy language or cursing God. But you are separate because the Holy Spirit of God resides within you, and you separate yourself. You separate yourself in who you choose for a mate, to be your wife or to be your husband. You separate yourself in who you choose to hang out with after work or after a social event. There's friends that we have, and bad company corrupts good morals. We found that out last week. So you separate yourself from worldly people. You separate yourself from the world, and you align yourself with men and women of God. Now, that doesn't mean that you can't minister to people of the world. People say that Jesus hung out with sinners. Well, he didn't actually hang out with sinners. Jesus wasn't just a hangout guy. He maybe spent some time with sinners. He maybe mingled at times with sinners, but he didn't actually just spend lots of hours and days hanging out with sinners. Because whenever he mingled with anybody, whenever he had a confrontation or an interaction with anybody, he had a kingdom purpose in mind for that interaction. He knew where he was going with that interaction. He knew what his plan for that purpose was. And that's the way we need to be as well. We can't just go down to the bar and mingle with people and not understand that there's consequences or danger in doing that. We have to have a purpose in mind. I'm not saying never go into the bar. I'm just saying we have to have a purpose in mind when we go there, that we're going to go there with the purposes of the kingdom of God in mind. And so it's very important when we interact with the world that our plan is to bring the world to Christ. Our plan is to share the good news of the gospel on the street corner, on the radio station, in the pulpit, in the crusade ground, wherever God leads you to share that word. You're going to be interacting with the world, but you have to be salt and light with the world. You're not just floating around like an amoeba and let the world take you wherever it wants to take you. You have to be salt and light in the world. And beloved, I believe that means every single aspect of the world, every little corner of the world, you be salt and light. We're not going to leave the politics of the world here in the USA. We're not going to leave that to the devil so that he can write all the laws and create all the chaos and the mayhem, eventually destroy this country. No, we're going to get involved in politics. We're going to get involved in education. We're going to get involved in entertainment and the arts. We're going to get involved in the media, every aspect of this world here in the United States, or in my situation in Kenya. We're going to get involved in that so that we can be salt and light in that aspect of the world. And so we're not going to just salt part of the soup. We're going to salt the whole thing. We're not going to just bring light into three corners of the room. We're going to bring light into the whole room. So it's very important that we be salt and light, and that we influence the world for the kingdom of God. Well, Paul says, don't be conformed to this world, so we can interact again with the world. We can interact, but don't be conformed. Don't let the world take over your destiny. Don't let the world take over your calling and your purpose in life. Stay focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. Stay focused on what God has for you, and you will then be not conformed to the world, but you will be transformed in the renewing of your mind. And when you come into the kingdom of God, when you become a born-again believer, you carry over lots of thoughts, you carry over lots of habits, you carry over lots of your identity from the world. But when you come into the kingdom of God, you have then the opportunity to become like Christ. You were predestined to be conformed into the image of Jesus Christ. God knew you way before you were born. He knew you from the beginning. You were predestined to be conformed into the image of your Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And you continue to be conformed into the image of Jesus by reading God's word, by spending time in prayer, communicating with your Lord and Savior, communicating with God, by spending time with the Holy Spirit in the presence of God. And when you do that, then Paul says that the will of God will be manifested in your life, and that which is good and acceptable and perfect then will be manifested in your life. Well, the second point I want to make is that we need to stay humble in the face of temptation. Don't get prideful. Don't get haughty. Don't think that you're too good, that the devil isn't going to take you down, that he can't take you down. And Proverbs 16:18 says, pride goes before destruction, and a haughty spirit before a fall. So don't think you're too important, or that you're too good, or somehow you're too righteous, you're too much of a man of God, or too much of a woman of God, that you're too strong, you're too righteous, and the devil can't touch you. When you start to think that way, you're setting yourself up for a fall. That's when you become a big bullseye in the devil's eye, and you become a target, and the devil then will work overtime to take you down. And for those of you out there listening today who are baby believers, understand this. When you're coming out of the world and you then become born again, you confess Jesus and you repent of your sins, and now you're on a different track. Now you're on your destiny track. Understand this, that you become bullseye number one for the devil. He will try everything he can to take you down. He'll try everything he can do to get you off of your track. That's why we looked at the temptation of Jesus back in Matthew 4 2 weeks ago. Even Jesus Christ was tempted by the devil. The devil had the audacity to take Jesus and confront him in the wilderness and try to take Jesus off of his divinely ordained path and try to get Jesus to renounce God, just like he did Eve in the Garden of Eden. Well, Jesus didn't succumb to that temptation, and you can go read that, Matthew chapter 4, and it's a very good instruction for each of us in each of the ways that the devil tried to tempt Jesus, or the devil did tempt Jesus. Each of the ways, Jesus quoted scripture back to him. And so that is important for us. We have to know the word of God. We hide that word in our hearts. And when the devil comes to us, then we can quote that word back to the devil. The word of God is quick and powerful, and it is sharper than any two-edged sword, and it can cut between the soul and the spirit, and the bones and the marrow, even to discern the thoughts and intents of the heart. So when we speak the word of God, whether it's to the devil or to the demons or to another person, when we speak the Word of God, that Word has power. It is quick and powerful, and it can cut between the soul and the spirit. In other words, it can separate those soulish things, those attachments that we make to the world. It can separate those, and it can bring forth or bring forward that spirit of a man, that spirit within you that wants to rise up, that spirit wants to rise up and communicate with God and be with God. That spirit was made in the image of God, and so that spirit can be separated from the soulish things that want to take over the spirit. Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Apostle Paul has good instruction here regarding staying humble in the face of temptation. He says, "Therefore, let him who thinks he stands take heed, lest he fall." Verse 13, "No temptation will overtake you, but such as is common to man. And God is faithful, who will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but with the temptation will provide the way of escape also, that you may be able to endure it." And so even for baby believers, for new Christians, God isn't going to let the devil tempt you in such a way that is beyond what you can endure or beyond what you can bear. He says, even with the temptation, there will be none overtake you, and God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able, but will provide a way of escape. And so when you think about the ways that you're tempted, there will always be a way of escape. You get your feet started in the other direction instead of going into the bar, or instead of going to the drug den or a place of a lot of immorality, a place of a lot of temptation. You get your feet going in the other direction. The Holy Spirit will start to speak to you. The Holy Spirit will say, "This isn't a good place for you to be." When you sit down to your computer, you know that there are sites there on your computer that are pornography. You know that maybe you have a struggle with them. Get somebody to be an accountability partner for you, that you can share your computer sites with them. In fact, you can in real time have somebody else check on your phone when you click on sites or when you go to certain sites. Have an accountability partner that can help you stay accountable if you're struggling with pornography, if you're struggling with gambling issues on the internet. Have somebody else check on your programs, check on your sites that you visit, and get some accountability in your life. Maybe meet with somebody every week or every other week that you can sit and look at that partner and tell him, when he asks you, you can tell him the answers of the places that you've been visiting on the internet. And so get accountability in your life, and that is the way that you can overcome temptation. Well, the feet I talked about that run to evil, Proverbs 6:16, the Lord talks about the six ways that the Lord hates. Yes, seven, which are an abomination to him. And Proverbs 6:18, one of the ways that he lists is feet that run rapidly to evil. Well, your body isn't going to go anywhere unless your feet are taking you there. And that includes places of gambling, that includes places of drinking, that includes pornography sites, that includes every temptation known to man. You get your feet going in the other direction. You go in the way that the Lord has shown you and the Holy Spirit speaks to you. You go in the way that will take you away from temptation. Get your feet started in the other direction, and the rest of your body and your mind will follow. And so that is very important. Don't keep going back into places that you know will be temptation for you, that you know will be a bad place for you. And last week we talked about bad company corrupts good morals. That's the reason when you leave rehab, that's the reason why you leave prison, that's the reason why you leave any place where it has been a problem for you. When you leave that place, don't go back to the same people, don't go back to the same place, don't go back to the same situations that led to your downfall, that got you in jail, that got you in rehab, that got you in treatment centers. Don't go back to the same people and places that led you to that place of destruction in your life. Get your feet going to another direction so that you can then stay on the path and on the destiny, the holy highway that the Lord has called for you to do. Well, the third aspect of spiritual warfare, or the third aspect of temptation, has to do with spiritual warfare. In a sense, it's all spiritual warfare, because anytime you're encountering the devil, or the devil comes to change your mind or speak to you, you are in spiritual warfare at that moment. And so we're going to look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. Turn your Bible there. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 10. This is the Apostle Paul speaking, and this is probably the most famous and most definitive scripture on spiritual warfare. He says, "Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the full armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil." The devil is always scheming against you, beloved. The devil, his purpose and his plan, ever since he was thrown out of heaven, ever since he fell from heaven and he took the angels, one-third of the angels with him, his plan is to destroy your life and destroy your family and destroy this country and destroy everything good about this country. That's the plan of the devil. The devil's schemes change from day to day. He is a master counterfeiter. He is a master disguiser of who he is. He's a master at presenting himself as an angel of light, but he's actually an angel of destruction. So the devil's plan is to take you out of your destiny, take you out of your God-ordained calling, and get you to follow his plan to the point where eventually he will take you out of your life. That's where thoughts of suicide come from. That's where thoughts of despair and depression come from. That's why every week I pray for those with mental instability, because the battle is in the mind. And so Paul is saying, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might, through God's power, through the power of the Holy Spirit that is residing in you. If you're a born-again believer, that Holy Spirit is residing within you. That power is able to overcome the schemes and the wiles of the evil one. That power is sufficient to keep you strong and to say no, just like that power was in Jesus Christ when he was in the wilderness and he was able to say no to the devil. He was able to quote scripture back to the devil. And it says at the end of that time of temptation that the devil left him and then went to look for a more opportune time. He didn't give up. He was going to look for a more opportune time, but the devil left him, and the devil will leave you. When you speak the blood of Jesus over your life, when you speak the words of Jesus, when you speak the words of God and the words of the Bible over your situation, over your temptation, the devil will leave you. He may come back again and see if you are sealed by the Holy Spirit, see if you've opened up a door for him to come, but he will come back again. But you can continue to speak the words of God over the devil, and he will not get you to succumb. He will not overcome you. You will overcome the devil. Jesus said the devil is the ruler of the world, but never mind, I have overcome, and through the power of God, we can overcome as well. Apostle Paul says, our battle in verse 12, Ephesians 6, 12, our battle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the powers, against the world forces of darkness or principalities, against the forces of wickedness in the heavenly places. And so our battle is not against flesh and blood. You may be in conflict with your wife or your husband. You may be in conflict with your children, but our battle is not against flesh and blood. Your battle may be with your boss at work or co-worker, but your battle is against powers and principalities, rulers of darkness, spiritual forces of wickedness in the places, heavenly places. Our battle is against the demons who torment us, who try to oppress us. And I don't believe, if you're a born-again believer, that a demon can possess you. But I believe they can oppress, they can torment, they can try to get us to go with them in their worldly way and get us off of our path. But I believe that the power of God is sufficient, that you can defeat the devil in your life. The power of God is sufficient, that you can stay on your calling, stay on your destiny, on the path that leads you to righteousness, and you can defeat temptation, and you can defeat the schemes of the devil in your life. Well, it all starts, beloved, with being born again. It all starts with saying yes to Jesus. It all starts with confessing, repenting of your sins, turning from your wicked ways, and saying, Lord, I trust you. I want to follow you. I want to be a servant of you. I want to serve you and worship you and love you. That's where it all starts. If you're not a born-again believer, you need to say yes to Jesus and move forward from there to defeat the devil in your life. Well, Gather the Outcast is a listener-supported radio ministry. We praise God for that. We thank the Lord for all the many years, and we appreciate those of you who have supported this ministry. You can contact us. We'd love to hear from you. Contact us at Gather the Outcast, Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. That's Box 92, Norton, Kansas, 67654. Or you can check us out on PayPal if you want to make a donation with your debit or credit card, paypal.me/gatherTheOutcast. You can look at our Facebook page, see pictures of the ministry in Africa, see what's going on over there. That's facebook.com/Jim Rao. We'd love to hear from you today. Sit down today, write us out a check, let us know you're listening, and we would appreciate that. You will be blessed. The Lord will be blessed. This ministry will be blessed. We'd love to hear from you today. Thank you again for listening. God bless you. Tune in again next week. Have a great week.